Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Writing the Other A Practical Approach by Misi Shawl and Cynthia Ward is a concise craft guide for fiction writers who want to create characters outside their own cultural, racial, social, or embodied experience. Emerging from the author's workshop of the same name, the book is especially associated with speculative fiction communities. But its advice applies broadly to any narrative form that includes human difference. Its central purpose is neither to forbid writers from crossing identity boundaries, nor to offer easy formulas for doing so. Instead, it treats representation as a practical writing problem, involving perception, research, empathy, revision, and awareness of reader assumptions. Shawl and Ward argue that weak portrayals of marginalized or unfamiliar people often result from ordinary craft failures, reliance on cliché, insufficient specificity, shallow characterization, and unexamined defaults. The book is useful because it connects ethical concern with concrete technique, showing how inclusive writing can strengthen character, setting, conflict, and reader trust. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the unmarked state explains how readers fill gaps with cultural defaults. One of the book's most important concepts is the unmarked state, a literary idea describing the character who appears to possess only traits treated as normal by the dominant culture. In many English language publishing contexts, a character whose race, sexuality, disability status, religion, or cultural background is not specified may be read through default assumptions. Shawl and Ward emphasize that this is not a neutral process. What seems unmarked to one audience may reflect a historically privileged position, while everyone outside that assumed norm becomes marked as particular, different, or symbolic. The concept matters because writers often believe that omitting identity details makes a character universal. The book challenges that assumption by showing that omission can instead make dominant identities invisible while making other identities feel exceptional. For craft, this affects description, point of view, and world building. Writers must decide when, how, and why a trait is made visible, rather than relying on the reader to infer it. The goal is not to overload every character with demographic labels, but to recognize that silence is also a narrative choice with consequences. Secondly, Rowers gives writers a structured way to consider identity without reducing character. Shawl and Ward introduce Rowers as a practical framework for noticing major categories of difference: race, sexual orientation, age, ability, religion, and sex. The value of the acronym is not that it exhausts every important aspect of identity. It is a diagnostic tool that helps writers ask whether they have unconsciously assumed sameness across their cast, their fictional society, or their imagined readership. By separating these categories, the book also discourages vague diversity thinking, where difference is treated as a single interchangeable quality. A character's age shapes social power differently from religion. Disability affects embodiment differently from sexuality. Race may alter public perception in ways not captured by personal belief. At the same time, the book warns against treating group membership as destiny. Rowar's categories can influence experience, but they do not mechanically determine personality, desire, morality, speech, or plot function. This balance is central to the method. The framework prompts attention to social location while preserving individuality. It helps writers move beyond token inclusion toward characters whose identities interact with circumstance, culture, and personal history in specific ways. Thirdly, respectful portrayal depends on research, empathy, and limits of personal experience. The book presents writing across difference as an act that requires more than good intentions. Shawl and Ward stress research because imagination alone often reproduces inherited stereotypes, media cliches, or simplified assumptions. Research can include reading work by people from the relevant group, studying history and social context, listening to lived experience, and checking details that may seem minor to outsiders but meaningful to insiders. Yet the book does not treat research as a substitute for character making. Facts about a group cannot automatically produce a convincing person. Writers must combine external knowledge with emotional access, asking what fears, pleasures, loyalties, frustrations, and contradictions the character has beyond the identity category being represented. The authors also emphasize humility. Writers may make mistakes, and awareness of that risk should lead to revision, consultation, and openness to criticism rather than paralysis. This approach gives writers permission to attempt difficult representation while also assigning responsibility for the effects of their choices. The result is a craft ethic based on care, specificity, and willingness to learn. Fourthly, avoiding stereotypes is treated as a matter of stronger characterization and world building. A distinctive feature of writing the other is that it frames harmful representation not only as a social problem, but also as weak craft. stereotypes flatten characters by substituting a recognizable package of traits for motive, conflict, contradiction, and change. They also make fictional worlds feel thin, because entire cultures or communities appear to exist only as scenery or as devices for the protagonist. Shawl and Ward argue that credible difference requires attention to how societies organize belonging, power, language, ritual, prejudice, and ordinary daily life. This is especially relevant for speculative fiction, where invented worlds may seem detached from real social categories, but often borrow their assumptions unconsciously. The book encourages writers to ask whether a character's identity has been used merely to signal exoticism, victimhood, wisdom, danger, or moral instruction. It also encourages attention to variation within groups. No community is internally uniform, and a convincing portrayal usually includes disagreement, class position, family background, personal preference, and local context. By linking representation to narrative depth, the book makes inclusivity part of the same discipline that produces believable plots and settings. Lastly, exercises and workshop methods turn representation into an active revision practice. The book is practical in part because it includes exercises and prompts rather than only general principles. These activities ask writers to inspect assumptions. Identify emotional common ground with unfamiliar characters, and test whether a portrayal depends on cliché or on observed specificity. This interactive design reflects the book's workshop origin. Representation is treated as a skill developed through practice, feedback, and revision, not as a fixed moral stance a writer either has or lacks. Shawl and Ward also address the discomfort that often arises when discussing race, sexuality, disability, religion, and other marked differences. The book does not treat discomfort as proof that a writer should avoid the subject. Instead, it treats discomfort as information it may reveal fear of error, unexamined bias, unfamiliarity, or uncertainty about craft choices. In a classroom or writing group, this orientation can keep discussion focused on the text while still acknowledging social stakes. The exercises help writers move from anxiety to concrete questions. What is being assumed? What has been researched? What role does this trait play? And how might readers from different positions receive it? In conclusion, Writing the Other is best suited to fiction writers, writing teachers, workshop participants, and editors who want a compact but serious framework for representing characters across cultural and social difference. It is particularly useful for speculative fiction writers because invented settings can easily reproduce real-world defaults under new names. But its principles apply equally to realism, historical fiction, young adult literature, and other narrative forms. Readers gain practical benefits, a vocabulary for discussing default assumptions, a checklist for noticing identity categories, methods for reducing stereotype, and exercises that can be applied during drafting or revision. Intellectually, the book helps writers understand that universality is not achieved by erasing difference, and that respect for difference need not weaken narrative momentum. Compared with many craft books, it stands out because it joins ethical representation to ordinary technical concerns, such as point of view, characterization, setting, and reader inference. It is not a comprehensive social theory text, nor does it cover every axis of identity in equal depth. Its strength is its focus usefulness. It gives writers a manageable set of concepts and practices for approaching difficult material with more precision, humility, and craft discipline. If you would like to support Neezy Shawl, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.